Hello and welcome to Charles in Charge, all the way from Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. I'm Nicola Charles. It's January the 27th, 2022. And some things are going on that are really surprising me and not what I thought the outcome would be at all. And that is the reaction of the vaccinated towards the unvaccinated in the light of all the information coming out about some of the damage from the vaccines. And I'll try and share some of that with you. It's quite hard for me to skip through these clips because I'm doing this manually as I'm talking to you, but I will try and get that done. Today's podcast is called Vaccine Derangement Syndrome. And this is a new thing, a new term that has been coined. It's very clever. I guess it's being tagged on to the old ye olde Trump derangement syndrome. And this is the problem with the left, is you can come up with a lot of these slogans to sort of try and invalidate someone, to try and discriminate against someone. The left are very good at discrimination while promising to be anti-discrimination. That's how the left works. You only have to look at the footage that's just been released from China of African American basketball players that are getting off and on buses in China to go and play sport. And honestly, they tell us in the Western world, like BLM and all that, they tell us that we're incredibly racist societies. Like, they just sort of underpinned all of their politics through the 2020 election on that. And that's simply not the case. I've never known that to be the case, not in America. I lived there for 7 years, not in the UK. In Australia, there's a little bit more towards like Italians and Greeks, like they call them wogs, like they call me a wog because, you know, I'm sort of a bit mixed race. And there is a little bit in Australia, but really not the way it was being framed and sold, you know, in like a sales pitch in the USA. So in this footage from China, you've got these buses turning up and obviously there's barriers and stuff because you've got famous sportsmen arriving at centres and hotels and whatever. And you've got rows and rows of Chinese, looks like young Chinese, like students, like kids, early 20s maybe. And they are screaming the N-word at these basketballers as they're getting off and on the buses. And they're saying, F you, leave China, you effing N-word. Over and over and over. This isn't like a one-off thing. Now, I've been talking about this for a long time with regard to China, and this is why I believe the Beijing Winter Olympics shouldn't be going ahead and why we should all have trade restrictions with China. And I know that's going to be hard and we'd all have to go without, but too bad. I don't want cheap Chinese crap anyway. I'll go without. The problem you see for governments is not the buying from China and selling all the Chinese crap. They do that as a reciprocal arrangement because what they want to do is sell to China. It's not about the buying of the crap from China. It's about the selling to China. In Australia, it's things like the iron ore and the steel and all that, the large scale industrial stuff that Australia and other countries like to sell to China. And don't forget, we're down here in the Southern Hemisphere. We're in the region. It's really scary and really disappointing. I've been talking about this because of the Uyghurs, and the Uyghurs have become like this subject where even Joe Biden said, oh, well, that's just a cultural difference. You cannot, you know, have all these BLM riots and have Kamala Harris set up the Minnesota Jail Fund to bail out rioters who've hurt people, stolen endless amounts of property from stores, expensive property. You can't have that and say that, you know, minorities must have their voice and be freed from jail because, oh my God, they're discriminated against. Well, then why mustn't the minorities being discriminated against be freed from jail in China? And why aren't America storming these forced labor camps in China and releasing all the Uyghurs? It's exactly the same situation. Only in the Western world, we haven't been holding anyone in enforced labor camps. Everyone's been free to go to school, free to go to college, free to open their own business, free to stay home on the dole if they want and do nothing all day. Like, how is that not a free society, but we're okay to not help free the Uyghurs? What exactly did they do? That's a religious war over there, and it's getting really chilling, the ramifications for the way the left, the Democrats, who I've always said I believe in are Nazis, wolves in sheep's clothing, how they often throw slurs at other people that they themselves are. They themselves are racist. Of course they are. By they're sort of forcing their American vaccines on the Aboriginals in Australia. They're buying products from China that are built by slaves in slave camps. It's extraordinary. And so I really think we need to have a think about this. I really need to have a think about how we've been played. Like in England, I remember doing during the Tony Blair years, terrifying, because again, he was this grinning virtue signaler. And I've got to admit, even at the time I was rolled, I thought Tony Blair was a good one. And despite being a conservative, and obviously he was incoming Labour after many years of conservatism, that I thought, okay, things are going to be more relaxed, we'll be more progressive, like Australia. You know, Australia was progressive. That's why I came here with my kids. That's gone out the window, let me tell you. It really does feel like we're living in Nazi Germany. It's definitely show your papers and do as you're told. That's not the progressive Australia we came to. It's a completely different place, and it's breaking my heart. So the double standards are really, really worrying. And I put together this little list. I looked at all my clips and all the stuff sent from my citizen journalists. And I've got to thank you guys. I've been away for a few days because I've had some legal stuff that I've had to do, and it took a lot of my time and attention. But, you know, I'll just read my list out to you. It's just a list that I've scribbled down on a piece of paper next to me. Number one, trust the science. And I'll play a clip in a minute. Again, I've played it before, of Greg Hunt, the Australian health minister, in June or July 2021, telling us that we were involved in the biggest human experiment, the biggest human trial the world has ever seen, and that we must trust the science and trust the data. And he says, we're going to get all this data. We're going to get all this science. Well, now the science and the data is coming in, and now they're saying, forget the science. Okay, because nothing they're doing now is in line with the actual data and the actual science. So when he said, trust the science, and we're looking forward to the data, they were working off these computer models from the Doherty Institute and various others around the world. Okay, but now we have the data, the real data, and they're saying, forget the science, because the models say this. What do you mean exactly? Forget the science. The science is in. No, we won't forget it when you asked us to trust the science. Number three, engage in vaccine derangement syndrome. Yes, vaccine derangement syndrome. Four, scare kids. Kids are terrified, and they're terrified of everything. They're terrified of the vaccine. They're terrified of COVID. They're terrified of the mental health issues that they're beginning to experience. And this is really something that governments have been prepared, and parents as well have jumped on board, extraordinary to me, in putting their kids under undue stress when there doesn't need to be. There's not a threat to children. Zero children have died in England or Wales or Australia in the age group 5 to 11 of COVID. And from all reports that are now being suppressed, that's not the case with the vaccine. Five, put big pharma's wants for profits above kids' mental health. And what they're asking kids to do is jab. They want kids to jab. And I won't share this clip, but I was sent a clip this morning. It's quite long. It's an hour, so I can't share it. Of kids in schools in America having their say at school board meetings. And they're saying, you know, you're asking us to get this jab, to have our lives, undertake an experimental medical procedure to protect the triple vaccinated. So all the adults that are scared who went and got their vaccines, good for you. Okay, now you've got your boosters, your triple jab, maybe you'll be quadruple jab soon. Those who believe that science based on models are getting all the jabs. And those of us who believe the science, the data coming in, might believe something else and might make a different choice. But why would we affect children's mental health problems to protect the triple jabbed? Surely if they're triple jabbed, they're protected. Six, cause mass unemployment. This hasn't been the case so much in America and the UK. They've slipped through, which I find very suspicious. Whereas here in Australia, a lot of us lost our jobs, myself and my partner included. Seven, fire nurses during a pandemic. Again, This is not starting to make sense. Don't say trust the science when you're letting COVID positive nurses treat non-COVID patients in surgery wards and birthing wards while they're COVID positive, but you won't let the COVID negative unvaccinated nurses who no doubt have full-on antibodies against this because they worked through the pandemic with no vaccine, right? Right? You're not making any sense over there in the old science department. Amazing. Ordinary people on the street are pulling them up on their science. Hide Joe Biden. That's note number 8. Hide Joe Biden. We learnt this yesterday. This was on the US news. There's been a statement from the White House that Joe Biden is going to be hidden away in a COVID-safe bubble and he's going to restrict all unnecessary public appearances. Why? Because he needs to be in a COVID-safe bubble so that he doesn't get COVID. Joe Biden is triple vaccinated. Again, I ask, does your vaccine work or does it not? Why are you hiding, Joe? You stood there on the podium and said, get vaccinated. You won't get sick if you get vaccinated. Don't be selfish. Joe, do you know what the job of a US president is? Your job is to lead by example. So if you truly believe the vaccine work, as you stated, you went and got it, as you stated. And if all of us conspiracy theorists that believe it was a fake jab and that you didn't really get it are wrong, what you hiding for, Joe? Who you hiding from, Joe? All those sick vaccinated people? You fucking liar. 9, scribble. 9, scribble. Why do the vaccinated suddenly hate the unvaccinated? Not because they're unjabbed. No. I'll tell you why the vaccinated hate the unvaccinated right now. From the little bit of trolling I've had this week, it's pulled back a bit. Now all the evidence is coming out. They've pulled their heads in. You know why? Because we're fit and well and healthy, despite not being vaccinated. And that sort of puts all their facts and all their issues in the bin. That makes everything they've done look like bullshit, right? Because all the unvaccinated that I know, and I know one person who was unvaccinated, who had COVID and got through it, I think it lasted about a week. Everyone else I know who's sick is vaccinated. I'm sorry, that's just a fact, and that's also what the new figures are showing. So why would the vaccinated be unhappy that the unvaccinated are well? Bit nasty, that bit chilly. Now, we're going to go through the list again and we're going to listen to them in their own words, these people, okay? In their own words, telling us what we should and should not think and then listen to what is actually happening. Okay, so I've played this before, but I am going to play it again. This is the Australian Health Minister, Greg Hunt. Not a state health officer, the Australian Health Minister in June, July 2021, talking about the rollout of the vaccine being a trial. Have a listen.
We have to look at what is called the longevity of the protection with regards to the antibodies that are developed. And the world doesn't know that answer. Mm-hmm. The world is engaged in the largest clinical trial, the largest global vaccination trial ever. And we will have enormous amounts of data. But what's the message for the public? It's safe, it's effective, but the world doesn't know that answer. It's safe, but the world doesn't know that answer. It's effective, the largest global vaccination trial ever.
Okay, so you heard Greg Hunt there, Australian Health Minister, say in June, July 2021 that we are engaged in the largest vaccine trial rollout the world has ever seen, okay? Now, here we are in January the 27th, 2022, 6 months out from Greg Hunt's statement about this being a trial, and we have indeed got data coming in. Now, this was Fox News in America yesterday on the Tucker Carlson show, and Alex Berenson, who is genuinely believed to be one of the most diligent, truthful, and accomplished journalists on US soil, who can now only be found on Substack because he was deplatformed, just like Trump, just like myself. They don't like it when you tell the truth because that goes against the big pharma narrative or whatever other narrative this is we're pushing. And following Greg Hunt's statement about it being a trial, this is what the evidence and the data is now showing. Have a listen to this clip.
Weird. COVID rates are skyrocketing in the very countries with the highest vaccination rates. That would include Denmark, Australia, and Israel. Alex Berenson has been covering this almost alone on Substack. He joins us now for his reporting. Alex Berenson, what is this?
We're at a very dangerous moment, Tucker. And, you know, I'm not exaggerating. I think this is probably the most important appearance I've had with you in the last 2 years. It is completely clear now that the vaccines don't really work at all against Omicron. In these highly vaccinated and highly boosted countries, rates of infection are incredibly high, and rates of serious disease and death are also rising. The Israelis are predicting that they're going to have more serious cases than they ever had at the peak last year. And the idea that we would solve this with another booster is just off the charts insane. I have not said this to you before because I'm pretty careful, and I'm pretty careful with the data, but these vaccines, these mRNA vaccines, the mRNA COVID vaccines need to be withdrawn from the market now. No one should get them. No one should get boosted. No one should get double boosted. They are a dangerous and ineffective product at this point against Omicron. The spike that they make your body make that you then produce antibodies to is not the Omicron spike. And earlier today, Tony Fauci said, we're not going to give people monoclonal antibody products, because the first generation products, because they don't work against the Omicron spike. The same logic applies to these mRNA vaccines, and giving people boosters, even if in the very short term it knocks down infection rates, there's a boomerang effect, and that's what they're seeing in all these countries. We are in a dangerous moment, and these products need to be withdrawn.
So the data is now showing that the vaccines, the COVID-19 vaccines, are dangerous and ineffective drugs and should be pulled from the market. Except now this real world data is being universally ignored by those who said they cared about us, who were in charge of our healthcare, governments, pharmaceutical companies. Now, surely if they really did care about us, if that was something that was really concerning to them, they would be looking to the new data and they would be saying, whoa, 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 this stuff's about to go into kids. Halt this. This has to stop. No one's listening. Why aren't they listening? Because it was more politically expedient for them to run by these models than to listen to the actual science. So again, this is an example of the left saying, you know, we're going to listen to the science, we're going to listen to the data, but not listening to the science and listening to the data. Now, Senator Ron Johnson in the US had a forum a number of weeks ago with the vaccine injured, which was universally not blocked or deplatformed, but they would tell people this link is dangerous, you shouldn't watch it. Even my MacBook computer at home wouldn't play it. And I'm noticing that with Mac a lot, Apple, that it won't play certain things. But luckily, you know, my kids have PC laptops that do play this stuff for school that I can borrow. And so here is a clip from Rumble of another forum by Senator Ron Johnson. And this is Dr. Robert Malone, the designer, the patent holder of the technology of the mRNA vaccines, Dr. Peter McCullough, and loads of other doctors, scientists, and immunologists here. It's funny, I've had lawyers and all sorts of people say to me, oh, why are you listening to this person? You know, why would you listen to Alex Berenson? He's not an immunologist. It's this, that, and the other. And I said, but you're a lawyer. It's amazing. Those on the left, they always think they know right. They always think they have a way to invalidate any opinion that anyone that disagrees with them has. But then when you present them with actual real world data, opinion, and science from immunologists, from scientists, they're like, whoa, blah, 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 fingers in ears, la, 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 la. They don't want to hear. So here is the USA. This was yesterday in America.
look in the yellow card system in the UK, we say the same thing. And we look in the UDRIS system in the EU, we do the same thing. We have just fulfilled the Bradford Hill tenets of causality. Meaning, I am telling you as an epidemiologist, the vaccines are causing these fatal and non-fatal events to a large degree. And many of those skilled around the table, I'm sure, would agree.
Okay, so that transitions perfectly. Kyle, I'm going to have to actually ask you to give up your seat for Mr. Tom Renz. I got contacted by attorney Tom Renz over the weekend, who represents some whistleblowers within the Department of Defense. And Tom, you don't have much time at all, okay? He showed me his data, or he showed me the data that is being extracted from, what is the name of this database?
DMED.
Pardon?
DMED. It's the Defense Medical Database.
And I'm going to just kind of cut to the punchline because we just don't have very much time at all. But this data, so these are whistleblowers that have been extracting data out of the Defense Department database. They have noticed a very alarming increase in instances of certain conditions compared to a five-year average, you know, in the 10 times number in some cases. They also have evidence that with myocarditis, the data has been doctored already because they did a search inquiry in August that showed a certain level of myocarditis. I think it was like 20 times higher, 28 times higher, something like that. But now in January, it's only a couple hundred times, two times higher. So there appears to be doctoring of the data. Now, my staff has already sent, this morning we sent a record preservation letter to the Department of Defense to try and protect this data. But Tom, why don't you just quickly, because we have other things I do want to get to here. Please tell me, apparently one of the whistleblowers is brave enough to come forward and give a name, or I would not have allowed you to come.
Yes, Senator. So we've got three whistleblowers who've given me permission at this point to share their name. Lieutenant Colonel Dr. Teresa Long, DO, MPH, Dr. Samuel Sigloff, and Lieutenant Colonel Dr. Peter Chambers, DO and flight surgeon. All three have given me this data. I have declarations from all three. This data is under penalty. This is under penalty of perjury. We intend to submit this to the courts. We have substantial data showing that we saw, for example, miscarriages increased by 300% over the five-year average, almost. We saw almost 300% increase in cancer over the five-year average. Cancer is not being talked about except for by Dr. Ryan Cole. Thank you, doctor. We saw, this one's amazing, neurological. So neurological issues which would affect our pilots. Over 1,000% increase. 1,000.
Ten times. That's 10 times the rate, and obviously that
83,000 per year. I'm sorry, 82,000 per year to 863,000 in 1 year. Our soldiers are being experimented on, injured, and sometimes possibly killed. Dr. Corey, thank you so much for your stance on the corruption. That's precisely what it is. They know this, and Senator, when these doctors are attacked, not necessarily the people in this room, not giving names, they call me. I'm the one dealing with the medical boards. I'm the one watching the witch hunts. I'm the one fighting them off, and I'm the one telling them where to go. I'm going to keep doing that. Senator, we also have, let me give you this last thing, and then I'll shut up and get out of your way. 9/28/2021. Project Salus weekly report. Project Salus is a Defense Department initiative where they report and they take all this data that doesn't exist supposedly, and they give it to the CDC. They're watching these vaccines. On that date and around that date, I have numerous instances where Fauci and that entire crew were saying it's a crisis of unvaxxed. It's 99% unvaxxed in the hospital. In Project Salus, in the weekly report, the DOD document says specifically 71% of new cases are in the fully vaxxed and 60% of hospitalizations are in the fully vaxxed. This is corruption at the highest level. We need investigations. The Secretary of Defense needs investigated. The CDC needs to investigated. And thank you so much, Senator, for having the courage to stand against these special interests.
Yes. So, yes.
So that was new data and science by the Department of Defense in the US. And now we're going to go to a doctor who has actual real world data that the vaccinated are either becoming sick with cancer at astronomical rates, or cancers that they had that were in remission are coming back very, very strongly.
The experimental data on the genome in P53 in BRCA, can you explain that to everyone?
Yeah, real quick. So we have genes in our body. We have mechanisms in our body. We have bad cells in our body every day. Our body says, oh, I can kill that, knock it off, you know, shakes hands with every cell. You're gone, you're gone, you're a bad cell. There are genes, there are suppressor genes, P53, it's the guardian of our genome. There's another breast cancer gene, BRCA gene. We know that the spike protein binds to the receptors for these genes and can activate them. That is a mechanism of the spike protein. So putting this spike protein in the human body via a gene shot that is completely investigational, these are not approved, and to mandate something that's investigational that can bind to cancer promoting sites.
I'd like to just clarify and take that a step forward. What P53 does is it checks your DNA before it replicates, and it makes sure that it's fixed. So P53 is the one tumor suppressor gene that is most tied to cancer, because once there's a mutation in P53, the mutation rate just skyrockets.
Correct.
And you're going to develop enough mutations that that cancer is going to have a much more likelihood of becoming metastatic.
Absolutely.
So P53 is the essential tumor suppressor. Now, do we know for sure that the spike protein is binding it and inactivating it so that it cannot make sure that your DNA is replicated effectively and without any errors? No, but that's why we should have tested these for cancer-causing potential before we started giving them to our kids.
There are some confirmatory studies.
Yeah, I'll put it into the record. Yes. Paper by Jiang in May,
yes.
Where it goes into this data. SARS-CoV-2 spike impairs DNA damage repair.
Thank you.
One of the key points is we still don't officially know what the structure of these so-called vaccines are. I mean, we do have some information now that's been published by a Nobel laureate group from Stanford, looking at the sequence from discards and comparing it with the PANs. And there are what are called untranslated regions. Has anyone ever heard of this word, untranslated region? Anyone?
Yes.
A few people. Okay, everyone has been told that the RNA in there is just RNA that's making this spike protein that's going to make your nice little cute little vaccine, just like those mumps and polio vaccines that we've all had as children. No, wrong. There are untranslated regions, and I'm going to read you what they are. There are three human gene sequences in those untranslated regions. One of them, we think, I'm working with a group of molecular biologists and genomics, one of them, we think, is targeting the mitochondria. I'll tell you what that gene sequence is. It is the 3' untranslated region comprises two sequence elements derived from the amino terminal enhanced of split ASMRNA and the mitochondrial encoded 12S ribosomal RNA to confirm RNA stability and high total protein expression. That's what the WHO document says. Now, if that's true, that could mean, we don't know, we need to find out, that could mean that the expression of the spike protein is actually being expressed partly, at least, in mitochondrial ribosomal.
This is so wrong.
Mitochondrial ribosome.
No. Yeah.
That means it could be a kamikaze expression.
Dr. Weisman, listen. You're certainly letting us know you're qualified, but I don't know what you're talking about.
What I'm talking about, Senator, is in every single drug packaging insert, you see a chemical structure. Do you not? There is a chemical structure. We need to know the exact chemical structure, the exact sequence of the RNAs and the DNAs in these vaccines.
Right.
Okay, they are being withheld from us. FDA needs to show us what those structures are. They need to explain what the pseudouridine is doing. They need to explain this paper from Sahin, who is the founder of BioNTech in 2000 and, 2014, they talk about non-natural nucleosides. What are those non-natural nucleosides doing? He talks about the toxicity of them, the pseudouridine. None of that is being discussed.
So I want to clarify a little bit there. I agree with you.
Okay. We need a lot more information.
I want to clarify because people have said these are mRNA vaccines. mRNA only always goes to protein, and we can't do anything. First, we know that people have reverse transcriptase. Yes, it can make DNA. Yes, it can go back into the DNA. But there's something else about RNA. RNA can make little hairpin loops. RNA can regulate your DNA. So when you put an mRNA vaccine or RNA into your body, it can get in and it can be alternately spliced, can bind to your DNA, and it can regulate it for positive or for negative. It can change your gene expression, and there's stuff in there that can do that either intentionally or unintentionally, and we don't know. It's completely unethical because
let me just translate this real quick, because if you're hearing this, guys, pull it down real quick.
Cause myocarditis. The FDA indicates for Pfizer and Moderna that they cause myocarditis. We now have over 200 papers in the peer-reviewed literature on myocarditis, sadly showing the rates of myocarditis are far in excess of what the CDC ever imagined. We've identified that boys are have a predilection for this far more than girls. The maximum age group, the peak age group, is age 18 to 24, so it's actually the college age. The risk extends up to age 50. And I can tell you that in this age group, it is clear the risks of the vaccines are far greater than the risks of COVID-19, the respiratory illness.
That's everything right there. That is everything right there from Dr.
We get when I investigate. I mean, this isn't to do this. This is after a couple of years trying to get information out of another agency, and we finally get the information, and it's all redacted. This is how the federal government, the agency, has complied with congressional oversight.
We're glad to share with you, Senator, because we have quite a bit of those that aren't blanked out. And we also want to tell you, listen, the side effects, the only one that they're recognizing, that's an outright lie. I've got the Pfizer documents. Pfizer said in their FOIA documents that they released, they said, we're looking for these side effects. The FDA said, we're looking for these documents. We've got their documents showing what they're looking for. They're not sharing it with the American people because they're covering this up. Corruption was the word of the day, and I think it needs to be reiterated.
So somebody really quick in their testimony talked about what the drug companies were supposed to turn over when they made application. Dr. Kennedy, talk about that specifically. I mean,
okay, so on the day in which the Pfizer vaccine was authorized under federal regulatory law, that data had to be made public to the American people. By data, I mean the clinical trials data that Pfizer submits to the FDA, that the FDA then reviews and decides whether or not we're going to give.
And why wasn't it?
Well,
was there a waiver granted by FDA?
Or? No. What they said was, you know, we have a lot of FOIA requests, and they didn't deny that they had to release it eventually, because that would have obviously contradicted federal law. So what they said instead was, like, you know, even though we have a budget of $6 billion, I think it is, you know, we only have a handful of employees to handle these FOIA requests, and, you know, they have to make a lot of photocopies of these documents.
Now a judge has ordered the release, not at 500 pages.
8 months.
55, yeah, so yeah. We'll get that sooner. Again, we're running out of time. I did want to talk about some of the other revelations. You mentioned FOIA. The FOIA for Japanese regulators showed that this vaccine's not staying in the muscle, as we were kind of all led to believe.
Boy, that's going to be interesting, guys. Just pull it down real quick.
We have the tendency to get binary. It's either this or that. No, it can be both. Regarding the data package from Japan that Byron Bridle first acquired, and then I think I was the first after that. People often get confused about this, but Senator, this is the thing that worries me among the most, is that limited data that was not produced to any quality standard that any clinical trial, you know, precursor, non-clinical data package I've ever seen would be allowed to be used. What the FDA and the regulatory authorities all over the world allowed was for Pfizer to collect data involving unrelated RNAs, other candidates, amalgamated together and submitted as a package. And in those data, which are not according to good laboratory practices, they did demonstrate that these lipid nanoparticles go all over the body, just as Richard is saying. And oddly, they seem to differentially go to ovaries and bone marrow, but ovaries relative to testes. And it's important everybody kind of latches onto this and they say, oh, there's spike protein in the ovaries. No, that's not what they measured. They didn't ever measure spike protein. What they measured was the lipid component, these synthetic lipids, which is the other thing you didn't mention in this cocktail. Okay, these synthetic lipids go to ovaries. Who cares? Well, when your child is born, when your daughter is born, she has all the eggs she's ever going to have in her ovaries. And we do know that, and the CDC now finally acknowledges, after women all over the world complaining about their altered menses and getting, I mean, it was, I felt like I was in the mid 20th century. It was attributed to hysteria, much as your own story. These alterations in menstruation were believed to represent hysterical women. The CDC is now acknowledging it.
Again, women all over the world complaining about menstrual change after vaccination. And now they have proof that a lot of these lipid nanoparticles and spike proteins are gathering in the ovaries and damaging all the eggs that women ever have because they're born with them. This is the science. This is the data that is being denied by our state premiers, that is being denied by our chief health officers who were previously transport secretaries and do not know what they're talking about. And these lawyers that say, oh, well, this is the groundswell of public opinion. And, you know, Fox News isn't an immunologist. This hearing was immunologist. And I guarantee none of you would sit down and listen to them. Why? Because you don't want to. Because with cognitive dissonance, it is very, very hard for people who have had a strongly held belief to let it go. It's almost a cult-like behavior. In fact, it is a cult-like behavior. That you will not let go of a strongly held belief. Now, I completely understand that if you've been vaccinated and you've got this crap inside of you, that you wouldn't want to hear that. You wouldn't want to see that. Particularly if you thought, I'm okay right now. I feel okay right now. And what that means is that people who feel okay right now might push their friends, family members, or God forbid, their children into doing this. And then when they become sick in 6 months' time, a year's time, 5 years' time, 10 years' time, and this has all been exposed and we realize that just like thalidomide, you are actually a victim. What are you going to think about yourself that you didn't just wait that, okay, say you chose to vaccinate to go to work and have your career and you said, oh, well, I got vaccinated, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago and I'm fine. I'm going to put it into my kids just because. Will you not realize that that was a mistake on your part, that even for yourself, you should have lived with that vaccine inside you for between 1 and 5 years before you decided to do that to your children? And so what this is doing, you know, people talk about, oh, the vaccine creates like mind control and makes them believe in the vaccine. We can't know that. I do know that Bill Gates is capable of that. He was talking about that with the CIA in the 1980s. But we can't know for sure. But what we can know for sure is that vaccinated people who are not sick yet from the vaccine believe in the vaccine. Now, even when they get vaccinated against the disease of COVID-19 and very soon afterwards get COVID-19, they still believe in the vaccine. You know, doctors that I've spoken to, doctors, psychologists, dentists, any of them that have been vaccinated against COVID-19, often then say, oh, I'm not available that week. I have COVID-19. Really? You have the thing you were vaccinated against? And this is becoming vaccine derangement syndrome. This is a clip from Laura Ingraham in America yesterday regarding Canada and Canadians, and they're really going through it. They are literally the new Australia. We're on the same page. What is this world that we're living in where politicians, God help them, horrible bureaucrats, do not care about teenage depression, do not care about vaccine adverse reactions, do not care about us losing our jobs and our businesses. Something horrible is going on. Everyone is waking up to it. Have a listen to this.
Yes, very much so. Basically for the last 2 years, we've had a prime minister who has a vaccine derangement syndrome where every day he stands up at the stump and that's all he talks about. He doesn't talk about the economy. He doesn't talk about the supply chain. He doesn't talk about, you know, us losing our rights, lockdowns, nothing. It's just straight vaccines. But what's happening, Laura, is right now in Canada, we have one of the biggest revolutions happening, and you probably haven't heard about it because nobody's talking about it. But right now there's 50,000 truckers and about 1.4 million people headed to the parliament in Ottawa, and they're going to stay there until Trudeau resigns or they give us back all of our freedoms and rights. You know, when you separate people, it's easy to, you know, to create power through separation. But like I said, what we're seeing in the country right now with these truckers, and it honestly has ignited the whole entire country of Canada. And I know that, I've been spending a lot of time on social media helping, you know, promote the truckers and getting their word out and all of that. And so even I, you know, big tough hockey player, have, shed a few tears because I haven't seen my country this behind something and this excited about something in a very, very, very long time. So hopefully
it takes a lot to Theo, it takes a lot to get the Canadians angry. I mean, it's like Minnesota nice. And if Minnesota is nice, Canada is like jubilant all the time because they just, it's not a protest culture in Canada, correct?
Right. Well, that's the thing is in Canada, you know, we're considered really nice and all these things. But the thing about Canadians is eventually, you know, our fuse, our long, long fuse, burns out. And that's where we are in the country. And everybody's, you know.
And that is Theo Fleury, and he was a two-time Olympic gold medalist in hockey for Canada. I'm really glad that everyone is starting to speak out. But look, if you ignore all the notables that are starting to come forward here, and all of these people that are still pushing this vaccine for political and financial gain, I actually am now convinced this is all going to come out later on. And God help these people when we shame them for what they've done. We will shame them for what they've done. I'm part of a group, part of a political party, which I'm not talking about right now. And we are going to subpoena the bank records of lawyers, barristers, registrars, judges, whoever we have to, in cases later on, to see if any of these people were financially incentivized to be pushing these harmful drugs that should now be pulled from the market into children. And it's very sad, a lot of children that are in care, children that are deemed immunocompromised, disabled children, like it's back to Nazi Germany. Why are we doing this? Why are we pushing this as yet untested vaccine? And as Greg Hunt said at the head of this show, this is the largest human trial ever. What does it mean when you're taking part in a human trial? It means that it's a trial, and at the end of the trial, you'll have all the information you need. Well, we have all the information we need right now. It is the 27th of January, 2022. We have all the information we need. If you go online and look for Senator Ron Johnson's medical experts discussion panel and their response to the data and the science, it's hours and hours long. You will see that we have all the information we need right now. But despite having that information, governments are still making it very clear to GPs, to doctors, I guess to lawyers, courts, judges and registrars, that they should still be pushing this vaccine. Now, that's got to be illegal in light of the new information that is coming out. Obviously, you guys need to make your own decision. But I don't like that these COVID vaccine cult bullies, they're reminding me of the playground bullies. I used to have to walk a very long way in Worcestershire to school every day. And if it was snowing, I used to have to walk through so much snow, through a forest actually, and the, on the other side of the forest, adjacent to it, was a massive prison for the criminally insane. And sometimes we used to get to school and we'd have sort of an emergency assembly or a regular assembly, and there would be an announcement in that assembly, because they knew all the kids walked to school and walked home, that you weren't allowed to walk home that day unaccompanied. You all had to go in pairs or more, no less than two children, because one of these prisoners from the criminally insane had escaped, and they were probably hanging around in the woods that we all used to walk through. And sometimes when I would walk to school and back from school, when I was younger, there were these sort of in my tweens and teens, there would be these playground bullies that would hang around on the swings and hang around on the seesaw and all these parks. And when I was young, they were always trying to bully kids into the same thing. They were trying to bully them into sexual activity. And then when you got a bit older, they were trying to bully you into take drugs. You know, they were all doing, I don't know what kind of drugs they were doing at that time. But they would shame you and embarrass you and bully you, hoping that if they bullied you enough, you'd take these drugs and you'd do things you didn't want to do and give up your bodily autonomy. And these people are really reminding me. I feel sorry for them. I'll be honest, I actually feel sorry for these people. I look at them and they're quite sad, because when I look at them and they speak, in light of all this that's now coming to light, I see a person that has an enormous lock on their mind. Their mind cannot be freed. They're not free thinkers. They are people that are on a train track. They're locked on that train track. And they'll likely never come out of it until they die, whether they die young or old. They will never come off that train track. And it's very much the same as the people who used to bully on the playgrounds. And I'm sure these people existed. These kinds of people existed. And they were the kinds of people that were saying that thalidomide was a great drug and that thalidomide was fine. And again, this was for something that wasn't life-threatening, okay? This was for morning sickness, essentially. Women were getting morning sickness, which is completely natural. Look, I've had it. It's not great. I didn't get it a lot. My mother had morning sickness with me every day of her pregnancy, to the point where, despite being very pregnant with me, she didn't put on any weight, which meant she herself was losing weight because she had morning sickness every day. But luckily, thalidomide had been exposed by that point. But you know, you don't put something into people that are going to cause babies to be born with no arms. All of this stuff, because either they didn't do the research properly, or again, these people had locks on their brains. Do you know that it was only for the fact that the once honest British tabloid media exposed the thalidomide scandal? They exposed it and they shamed the pharmaceutical companies to withdraw that from the market. Now, this time the pharmaceutical companies have been very clever, haven't they? Because this time they bought off the media. Why? Because they knew, again, that if a free media, tabloid, broadsheet, you know, social media, mainstream media news, that if they got hold of this too early, that this was causing damage and this was causing death, the whole house of cards will have been brought down. So instead, they've got the media to engage in what they want you to believe, which is vaccine derangement syndrome. This has been Charles in Charge. I'll see you next time.